right. I've come to preach. I get to preach in English. I'm going to put the mic on. Is it on?
It's on.
Good to be back. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Mark in chapter 14. And as you go to that passage, I want to give a commercial announcement. First of all, I'd like to thank the Lord that Brother Greg Whiting and his lovely wife and family, Becky, are here with us this morning visiting. Brother Greg's a fighter pilot, and he works with the Texas Air National Guard. He was all over in Poland training the Polish, Polish Air Force. How to fly. I guess they're part of the coalition. I guess John Kerry doesn't know that we have Polish people helping out Americans in Iraq. And he's a fine brother, and I thank the Lord for him. I thank you that you came today. It's a blessing. As many of you know, Janice and I have been visiting the House of Mourning. And we want to thank you on behalf of the Riggs family and also on behalf of the Sprague family that for your prayers and your concern. My father went to heaven, went to glory just this last week. He's out of pain, and we thank the Lord that for that. And things just really worked out. As you know, Grandma Sprague, she's on her deathbed, and we don't know when the Lord's going to call her home, whenever the Lord decides. And she's lived a long life full of years, and she said that she's ready to go as well, but again, facing pain and discomfort. So continue to pray for her and for Janice and her family as they face this difficult situation. Also like to thank you for your prayers on behalf of the brethren in Poland. They greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They don't know you. They know some of you. They thank the Lord for you. They pray for you as well as I know you pray for them. I'd like to tell you some things the Lord's doing in Poland. I'd like to say that we've been there going on 10 years now. I'd like to say that it would be great if I could say we got 10 churches started, but that hasn't happened. It's a little bit colder in Poland than it was in Mexico, both literally and spiritually. So you continue to pray. We've done what we could in Poland, and we continue to do. We continue to knock on doors. We continue to preach the gospel and do the best we can. Brother Joe West is still working hard. I'm doing my best to try to keep up with that guy. That guy moves fast. So I do my best to keep up with him. Brother Bob and Beata are doing well. They have a little boy. Bob is experiencing the life of fatherhood. It's a new experience for him. And it's real fun to watch, too. I tell you what. I guess you all met Brother Mike Volsky and Becky. Real good people. They work with us. We thank the Lord for them. As you know, my son, Corey, is back in Poland. And he has found him a little polka. And he's fixing to get hitched here in December. All you single ladies, you missed out, see? You had your opportunity, and now it's fading fast, believe me. And Josh has just came back to Poland to preach as well, and I really haven't had much time to see Josh as I've been in Michigan with my dad. So he is back and preaching, and all things are going well. We're planning on splitting up the team. We have too many American preachers there in Warsaw, and we're planning on sending a three-man team into another town shortly. So if you would pray for that, that God would give us an open door and the right door to go to. We've been fishing, trying to find out where the fish are biting. I want to thank Jeff and Danny for taking me fishing this week. I had a good time. I got little fish bite all over my thumb. That means that's a good sign. We caught lots of fish. All right. Mark in chapter 14, I want to begin reading in verse 3. Nice Polish pulpit. I wonder how that got here. This is a nice Polish pulpit. I'm just curious how that got here. I don't think that would fit in the envelope, do you?
No.
Oh, I got to give old man Kincaid a hard time. All right. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforetime to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your mercy and your grace, even in times of trial. And even times of great burden and in times of war, we give you glory and praise. We do pray for our boys in Iraq that are fighting. We pray that you protect them, as well as those in Afghanistan and around the world. We thank you for our soldiers and our airmen and our sailors. God bless them, and especially for our Marines. Lord, we pray for those in Poland and in Mexico and for all the dear brothers and sisters here that you bless in each and every one. I pray you bless the preaching of the Word of God today. May it be a blessing to every hearer. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess there's quite a few things I could say about this text. I want to emphasize maybe down in verse 8, she hath done what she could. And that's going to be my message of the morning. And the question, first of all, I would have to ask, have we done what we could? Are we doing what we can? And I look about in this room, I see lots of brothers and sisters that I know very well, and some I don't know very well, and some new faces that I don't know at all. So I don't know your position in life this morning. I don't know where you stand before the Lord God Almighty. And when you go down to the house of mourning and you see people dying and die, you begin to realize, you know, one day you're going to die. It's appointed on men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So the first question I would have to ask you this morning, are you prepared for judgment? What have you done to prepare yourself to face God? Have you done all that you can? That would be the first question. And we'll get back to that in just a second. But here in this passage, we have a woman that wanted to do something for the Lord. She did it. She encountered opposition. Opposition from an unexpected source. Not opposition from unbelievers. Not opposition from atheists. But opposition from the disciples themselves. Opposition from people that we would expect comfort, maybe encouragement, maybe prayers, maybe support, some type of support. She encountered opposition, but she went ahead and did what she could, and she was commended by the Lord. So I'd like to say, as we begin going through this text and going through this thought this morning, that in asking the question to ourselves, have we done all that we can, we should realize, first of all, that there is going to be opposition, and that also there is going to be commendation. And the question is, where do we want the commendation to come from, and where do we want the opposition to come from? All of us are going to face opposition. And as I said, I don't know where you stand or sit this morning before God. And so this is going to be one of those cluster bombs. I think that's the right term, brother. A cluster bomb. And if I hit your path, good. Because that's why I'm dropping the cluster bomb. This is not a guided missile. It's a cluster bomb. It's just spreading little bomblets all over the path, hoping I get everybody on the path. See? Because I want the Word of God to be effectual in your life. I want it to be effectual in my life, in our lives. As a body, as the body of Christ. This woman did all that she could, and she was commended for it by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, have you done all that you can for the salvation of your soul? I know some people that are really trying hard to save their souls. They want to be saved. They're concerned about eternity. They realize that one day they're going to face a holy and righteous God. Now, they've been deceived by religion. Religion has deceived them and told them some things about God that are just not true. But they are laboring diligently, trying to do all that they can so they might be saved. But they have to realize, and you have to realize, we all have to realize, there's only one Savior. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You looking for a way to God? Jesus is the only way. You looking for a Savior? Jesus is the only Savior. There's no other way. Do you remember the story of Zacchaeus? He wanted to be saved. Look over in Luke in chapter 19. We'll come back to our text. Look over in Luke 19. There goes half my sermon. Look down about verse 3. Zacchaeus was a sinner, chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And later on in the story, you're going to find out he was short. He had three strikes against him, man. He's a publican, he's rich, and he's short. He just had a hard time, man. He just really had a hard time. It says that he sought to see Jesus and who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. You know, there are some people that really want to see Jesus, but they can't because of all the people in front of them. I live in a country where all the people are in front of you and the sinners can't find Jesus. They'd like to find Jesus, but the press doesn't allow him. People are a hindrance to other people finding Christ, and that's a tragedy. It's a real tragedy. It's a tragedy in itself when religious people impede those that are trying to find Christ. It's a greater tragedy when those that have been truly born again by the Spirit of God and know Jesus as their Savior and know the truth impede people from coming to Christ. The Bible doesn't tell us who this press is. I'm sure in that press there were disciples and those were just onlookers and religious people. All types of people. But they impeded Zacchaeus from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the key to salvation, is coming to see Jesus Christ. But you know what Zacchaeus did? He did what he could. He could not get through the press, so you know what he did? He climbed a tree. Now, if that tree doesn't speak of the cross of Calvary, I don't know what is. He climbs the tree, and if you're ever going to see Jesus, you're going to have to go to the cross of Calvary, which is called a tree, to see him. What am I saying? I'm saying some of you tonight, you have started out on your life's path. Somehow you had some sort of foresight, as the woman in our text, that Jesus is going to die in the future. In our case, he's already died. You foresaw some things. You began to prepare for it. You prepared the ointment. You come and you make the sacrifice. You saw these things. You know that you need to be saved. But somehow you haven't done all that you could. You've allowed people to impede you. Maybe you got discouraged about religion. I meet people like that all over Poland. Almost on a daily basis, I meet people that are fed up with religion. What they don't realize is that Jesus Christ is fed up with religion too. They don't realize that. But their understanding of God has been muddied, has been mucked up, and they can't find God because of the press of people and because of religion all around them. But every once in a while, you find someone who's willing to climb a tree to see Jesus. You find somebody that's going to do all that they can to find Christ. Look in Acts in chapter 13. Maybe you've been told this morning, somebody has told you, if you want to get to Christ and if you want to get to heaven, if you want to find eternal life, that you have to do everything you can in keeping the law. All right? I can understand that. Sounds pretty good. I mean, God is a righteous and holy God. God would expect that you'd be righteous and holy. And surely if God gave the law, then you and I should keep it. Maybe somebody has told you that you ought to live by your conscience. And so you're endeavoring to try to do that. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. But I want you to be sincere with yourself this morning. Have you succeeded in keeping the law? Do you really think you kept the law? The problem we have with people and sinners today is finding sinners. It's like fishing. It's hard to find them fish sometimes. Somebody asked me one time, what are you doing in Poland? I said, I'm looking for a sinner. He said, well, they're all about you. Yeah, I wish I could convince them that they're sinners. That's the problem. No, they know they're sinners. I said, no, they don't. They all think they're righteous. He said, no, that's not right. Of course they know they're unrighteous. I said, no, they don't. Go ask them. And sure enough, he did. So he hailed down a couple. He said, excuse me, man, we're having a discussion. It's a religious discussion. We're talking about the Bible. And we just have a real quick question for you. He says, would you consider yourself righteous? I said, of course. The guy hangs his head. He said, well, that was just bad luck. Let's try another one. He flags down somebody else. Down. Excuse us. We're having this discussion. Would you consider yourselves sinners and unrighteous? Why, no, I'm righteous. I'm a pretty good person. Hangs his head. You get three strikes in baseball, right? So he tried one more time, flags another young man down. Would you consider yourself righteous? Well, what kind of righteousness are we talking about, he asked. And the guy thought, oh, finally, I found somebody. Well, we're talking about the righteousness of God. Well, of course, he said. My friend, if you're really righteous, I don't think God is going to condemn the righteous.
Right.
Amen. But that's the problem. You're not righteous.
Right.
And you fall into that category of people that have deceived themselves in thinking they're righteous. You know what? Going to a funeral, you know what I found out? I find out that people only remember the good things. I knew the man in the casket for a long, long time. All of my life, I knew that man in the casket. I'm thinking, you guys, what are you talking about? This is a good man. You don't know that? Have you forgotten about this guy? I know this guy. What are you talking about? This is a good man. Well, he's my father. I realize he ought to be a good man. But, hey, I know the man. I know his uprisings. I know his downfallings. Yes, he did some good things, but he also did some pretty bad things. Have you forgotten about them? And that's the way sinners are. They always look at themselves as righteous. And they forget, in the eyes of God, they're unrighteous. I find it amazing that sinners always compare themselves with Hitler. And they come out ahead. I'm better than Hitler. I'm not as bad as Stalin after all. Well, maybe so. I wonder who Hitler and Stalin compared themselves with. I'm better than the devil, you know. But don't you have to be better than the Pharisees? Is that what Jesus said? Now, the Pharisees were people that prayed. Do you pray?
Yeah.
The Pharisees were the people that fasted. Do Americans fast? I don't mean to offend anybody. I really don't. I don't want to offend anybody, and that's not my intention. But America is the land of the fat. I mean, if you live in other countries, you come back from these other countries, and you realize there's a big difference here. No pun intended. I mean, you go to Walmart, and you got these two-cart guys, you know, they got to take two carts down the road. But so many people in the world today do not realize their condition before God. They have somehow painted themselves white. They have somehow looked into the mirror and seen another object. Look what it says here in Acts in chapter 13 and verse 38. Be it known unto you, brethren, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Through this man, talking about Jesus Christ. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That is a great idea, to justify yourselves through the law of Moses. It's a great idea, but there's one problem. You can't do it. And that's a big problem for you if you want to be justified in the eyes of God. You know what really helps sinners? You know what really helped you this morning? If you were just honest with yourself.
Amen.
Do you know the number one thing that I've encountered in 30 years of preaching the gospel that impedes sinners from coming to Christ? Hypocrisy. Pride and hypocrisy, probably those two things. Hypocrisy in other people, because it's always easy to find the hypocrisy in somebody else, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I can see it in you. I just can't see it in myself. Didn't Jesus talk about that one time? Something about a mote being in somebody's eyes or a beam in somebody's eyes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you ever understand the law and to see the way God looks at you? Do you really love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul? Are you telling me that you love God more than you love fishing? Are you telling me you love God more than that fighter aircraft? Sorry, brother, I'm using you. That fighter aircraft? Guided missile, I'm sorry. Cluster bombs, we're back to cluster bombs. Are you telling me that you love God more than your house? More than your car? More than your job? I know people who can't come to church because their job impedes them. They can't come to church because fishing impedes them. They can't come to church because the love of their life impedes them, which shows that their love is not towards God. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we're all sinners and unrighteous in the eyes of a holy God. And that we need a Savior. And this idea of doing all that we can, there is something that we can do. There's something, and thank God this is the way God worked it out. God has done something that everybody can do. If we had to go to heaven by keeping the law of Moses, nobody can do that. If we had to keep our consciences and live by a conscience, nobody could do that. But God has worked it out so that everybody can be saved, because every one of us can believe.
Amen.
Now my question is, have you done, sinner friend, all that you can do? You can't keep the law. You don't live by your consciousness. You don't love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. How do I know that? Because I know you don't love your neighbor as yourself. When I was a little boy, I heard that and I thought, I don't think God knows my neighbor. He hadn't seen my neighbor. No way. I got to love him as myself. You know, maybe my mommy. Maybe my grandma. But my neighbor, that guy, you know, the one that stole my bike, I got to love him as myself? You got to be kidding. Yeah? We love the lovely. But God loved the unlovely. So, in this matter of salvation, doing that all that we can is a matter of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's all you can do. This woman was commended because she did all that she could. Friend, have you done all that you could in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's the gospel. Now I want to talk to believers. I want to cross your paths with the cluster bombs. Have you done as a believer all that you can for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a personal question for you. What have you done for Christ? And I've seen in my life, in my own experience, and in the lives of others, two basic responses. I'm working, first of all, under the assumption that we're all wanting to do all that we can for Christ. And I say that because one of the types of people I've seen is people that I would say are like gold bricks. They're not interested in doing all that they can for Christ. Now, I always wonder about these people. I wonder about their salvation even. Because when God saved me, I had a natural desire to do all that I could for Christ. The other side of the fence is working under the assumption that we want to do all that we can for Christ. I've encountered many believers, and maybe you, that you fight against the wind because you want to do something that you can't do. Boy, I want to sing! But I just ain't quite figured out how to do that yet. My wife reminds me every once in a while, Brent, that's a joyful noise, but don't call that singing. She's such a lovely wife. The brothers and sisters in the congregation sometimes remind me of that. Now, brother, that's good noise there, but don't call that singing. They say I've improved, but I don't know. You know, in the book of Acts, I wrote this down as a quote. You remember the story when they're taking Paul off to Rome and they get on a ship and it says, when the ship was caught in this Euroclid, I don't remember the name of the wind, the south wind that blew, that caught him in this storm. When the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, the Bible says we let her drive. And that, I think, is good advice. I know some people that want to be missionaries that they're never going to be missionaries. They want to be preachers, but they're never going to be preachers. They want to be singers, but they're never going to be singers. I find that among believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, people always want to do something else instead of what they can. Boy, I'd like to preach like Brother Kincaid. Okay, that's a good desire. I've had that myself. That's a good desire. But if you're driving into the wind, and you're fighting against the wind, and you can't do it, then let her drive. Do what you can. I don't know the abilities of this woman, but I know by the testimony of the Bible, the testimony of the Word of God, that Jesus Christ has said she has done what she could. Now, don't you consider that a good testimony? If I get to heaven, when I get to heaven and I stand before the Lord's judgment, though that would be like music in my ears for Him to say, you know, He did what He could. Don't you agree? Then, wouldn't it be logical for us to say, let's do what we can? So, I come back to that question, I ask it again. What can you do? What can you do for Christ? Some of you are never going to be a missionary in Poland. It just ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But what can you do in San Antonio? Some of you, the thought of street preaching just sends shivers down your spine, and you're thinking, oh Lord, I don't know about that. But maybe you can go with a street preacher. Maybe you're not going to preach. That's just too much for you. That's not your cup of tea, and it's not going to happen. But maybe you can go with them, because those street preachers, they get the shivers down their spines too. But the Lord just gives them a little bit more grace, and they're able to overcome that fear. Maybe you can go with them and pray for them.
Amen.
Have you done all that you can? Maybe the thought of knocking on a door and going cold calling, as some people like to say, or cold turkey, knocking on the door and talking to people, that just sends shivers up your spines as well. It gives you a Holy Ghost shuffle, you know. But maybe again, you could go with them.
Amen.
And hold the track and pray and distract the kids or whatever. What can you do for Christ? Maybe you can show up.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be nice if all those that were saved could show up? Well, we'd have a few more seats filled up in here.
Yeah.
I think the brothers here would be more than happy to knock out that back wall and extend it a little bit. Just if you just could do what you could, can you show up?
Yeah.
Everybody has a sacrifice. You made a sacrifice this morning. Some of you made a sacrifice. That bed was warm. It was nice. It was comfortable. You finally got the pillow just like you wanted it. And it was really feeling good about 8 o'clock this morning. You thought, whoa, I'd like to stay here. But you made a decision. What can I do for Christ? I'm going to take this old cross and I'm going to crucify my pillow.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to go to church. Hey, I'm happy you're here. Believe me. That's a blessing to my heart. It sure is a whole lot easier preaching to happy faces out here than a bunch of blank chairs.
Yeah.
I like to preach to a crowd. I like to hear a lot of people making a lot of, well, singing and noise. Yeah. What can you do, and will the testimony of the Lord be when you stand before Him?
Amen.
You did all that you could. Some of you ought to consider maybe stretching it out a little bit more. Maybe you could do just a little bit more. Maybe you can make it actually on Sunday night.
Amen.
You know we have Lord's Supper here on Sunday night? Some of you don't know that, but they have Lord's Supper here every Sunday night. Hey, did you know what? Wednesday night there's a meeting here.
Amen.
I know that's a shock to some of you, but there's a meeting here Wednesday night. Maybe you could do that. Do you understand? Are you searching your life? This woman made a decision. Before this, we ever got to this story, she's back at her home making a decision. Maybe she had some beans to cook. Maybe she had some house cleaning to do. I know the ladies, they never want to leave the house with dishes. They never want, at least my wife, she just wants to have everything cleaned up before she goes because she knows I'm going to invite somebody home for supper or something, right? Maybe she had some vacuuming to do, but she decided this is more important. I'm going to sacrifice the things that I want to do because the Lord's going to be dying pretty soon and I need to prepare His body beforehand. She got a little bit of vision. And she said, well, what can I do? I'm never going to be an apostle. I'm never going to be a pastor. I'm never going to be a deacon, despite the modern ideas about those things. Well, I got this precious ointment. I was going to use it for maybe perfume or something, but you know, I think I'm going to give it to the Lord. Is that something you can do? Do you know what the church would be like if everybody... Let's not talk about the whole church, let's talk about our church.
Amen.
Do you know what this place would be like if everybody in this congregation had that testimony? They did what they could.
Amen.
When you go into war, you don't want to go alone, you want to go with some other people.
Amen.
Right out in the back is a baptismal tank made out of concrete. You know how heavy that thing is? Do you? Pretty heavy. It used to sit out there about in the middle of the parking lot, if I remember. And one day, Brother Kincaid decided, we got to move this. And he said, we. I said, come on, Brother Kincaid, you're a big guy, you can get it. You know what happened? We got a big old steel bar and we cranked that thing up just barely off the ground so some brave souls could put their fingers underneath there. And they started lifting. We got the big husky guys up there, you know, and they started lifting. And they lifted it up, and then us skinny guys, we got in behind them. Everybody did what they could. Now, I know some of them big guys were carrying more weight than I was carrying. But I did what I could. And everybody in that circle, all around that baptismal tank, was doing what they could. And you know what? That tank's not sitting out in the middle of the parking lot anymore. It's right over here. Why? Because everybody did what they could. I go fishing with Danny and Jeff, and they're catching 10, 15 fish. They're just catching them right and left. Well, I catch my 5. I did what I could. I'm only going to eat about 1 anyway, so I did what I could. Are you doing what you can? I can remember a sister down in Mexico years ago, Isabella. She couldn't read. And the Lord saved her soul and changed her life. You know what? It's hard to read the Bible if you can't read. You know what she did? She found out we had the Word of God on tape in Spanish. And she got this tape and put it into her tape recorder. And she had one of them old tape recorders. She had tape around it. The batteries are falling out. I mean, this thing was a literal Mexican rig job. But she put that tape in there and she began to memorize the Word of God.
Amen.
She did what she could. Tell you what else she did. Tremendous woman. Maybe kind of like this woman in our text. She got the Gospel of John figured out on that tape and she put little markings on there. Where John 3:16 was, where John 3:36 was, where John 5:24 was. So she could fast forward it. And she'd go around to all her friends that couldn't read either. And she'd take that tape recorder, she'd push that button, and she'd say, now you got to listen to this, Doña, you got to listen to this. And she'd push that button, John 3:16. Now just a minute. I'd press that forward, and she'd forward up to the next verse. She'd press that button. That's how she witnessed. She did what she could. Are you doing what you can? My dad got saved late in life. He resisted the gospel, resisted the Holy Spirit for a long time. But one day he surrendered. One day he climbed up that tree like old Zacchaeus and he saw Jesus. And he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. God saved his soul. Went to see him as his cancer's raging through his lungs. A lot of pain. A I never saw my dad cry, but I saw him this time bawling like a baby. He had all the morphine he wanted, all the morphine they could give him, and he's still in pain. I don't recommend smoking at all after seeing something like that. But you know what? He said, I want to preach. I want to preach. I said, Dad, I don't think that's going to happen now. I mean, you can barely walk across the room without running out of breath. I don't think you're going to be able to preach. He said, yeah, but I want to preach. I said, Dad, you can't do that. Well, what can I do? You can pray. Well, you think that's going to help? I said, yes, sir. Sure is. And I gave him a list. Bill Kincaid, John Castillo, Mike and Mike Jackson. Mike and Mike, who he said? Michael Jackson and Mike Jackson. Joe West, Lyndall Kincaid, Brian Tebow, and the list goes on. I said, can you pray for these, Dad? I want to pray for these. I can do that. And as far as I know, he did that right up to the death door. Amen. When a death angel came knocking on his door. I think he's going to hear the confirmation of the Lord. He did what he could. My dad couldn't go door knocking. It was too late for him. But he could do that. And everybody that came to visit him, he said, grabbed them by their hand, said, give me a hug and tell me you love me. I love you. Let's pray.
Amen.
Now, he had nodded off halfway through his prayer, but he would, because of the drugs he had, but he would pray. Are you doing all that you can? It's not a very complicated message, is it? The only question that I bring before you this morning is, are you doing all that you can? You fathers, are you reading the Bible to your children? Can you do that? Maybe just a chapter. Can you do that? Are you taking time to pray with your children? Can you do that? When you think about the church, what are you doing? What is it that you can do for the church? Maybe you can come and mow the lawn. Maybe you can come on a work day and help out. Maybe you can help out with some of the street preaching. I don't know what it is. Maybe God's calling you to preach. I don't know. Maybe you can do that. Maybe that's the ability you got. Some of you are probably really good with languages. That's not one of my gifts. Can you do that? Use your language to get the gospel out? Maybe you can talk to your buddies at work. Can you do that? What is it that you can do? Have you thought about it? Have you asked? Have you even sat down and said, Lord, what can I do for you? I think this lady did. I think she sat at her home and she said, you know, I want to do something with the Lord. I just don't know what I can do. And the Lord put it in her mind. There's that box of precious ointment. How about that? Now, the disciples and the other people may be not going to think that's very impressive. And they might, with indignation, and say, what a waste. But the Lord says, that's precious in my sight.
Amen.
That's a pretty good deed in my sight. Now, you're going to encounter confrontation if you're going to do the right thing. It's amazing how this world doesn't like the right thing. And it's amazing how even believers, shockingly, don't necessarily like the right thing. You know, there's even jealousy among believers. I think the tale would have been different had one of the disciples thought of that idea. Oh, man! Because it wasn't their idea. Oh, that's a waste. I mean, that ain't nothing, you know. You're not a street preacher. Ah, what kind of Christian are you? You're not a street preacher. So, I guess the first step for you, brother and sister, is to go to the Lord and say to Him, Lord, You know me. What can I do for you? I had several people, and I thank the Lord for you, say, friend, if there's anything that I can do for you, just let me know. Tell Janice the same thing. If there's anything we can do for you. I mean, if we can wash your clothes, if we can wash your car, if we can take care of your kids, or whatever it is, just let us know. And we're there. We're going to do it. Have you gone to the Lord and said, Lord, whatever you need, Whatever I can do, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
I think that's the first step. So my exhortation to you, brothers and sisters, is to go to the Lord today and say, Lord, what is it that I can do for you? Maybe you've got a vision. Maybe you've got something you'd really like to the Lord to do something for the Lord. Why don't you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do this. Would you help me do this? And then do all that you can. And maybe you're really ambitious and there's something out there that you want to do and you just can't reach it. Well, sometimes you just got to let her drive. And I'm sure if you're doing everything you can and you're really ambitious, you want to go a little bit further and you don't quite succeed, I think you're going to hear what the Lord told David, or at least he told Solomon about David. It was in his heart. And so maybe you don't accomplish that great goal, but if you could do all that you can, maybe you might hear the Lord say, well, you tried. I appreciate the effort. You did all that you could. You didn't get the house built. That's all right. It was in your heart. I think the Lord's going to be satisfied with that. But I think the Lord is going to be disappointed, and I think you and I are going to be disappointed if we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and hear, you didn't do what you could have done. Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't that be kind of embarrassing to think, well, you know, you could have did this. You could have done that, but you didn't. God help us from laziness. God help us from our own pride, because many times pride prevents us from doing the things that we can do. So, pretty simple message. Straightforward. What can you do for Christ? Not what somebody else can do, like Peter says to the Lord, what about this man, Lord? And the Lord answers, what's that to you? What's that to you? Come follow me. If you and I would follow Christ with all our might and all our soul, I think we would hear at the end of our days, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did all that you could. Let's pray. Lord, in this room, there sits a bunch of people. I don't know they're standing before you, Lord. You do. I pray that if there's somebody here that's not saved, that they would believe on you. I pray for the saved brothers and sisters that I know and don't know, that they would come before you today and with a vow of sincerity say to you, Lord, what can I do for you? And then for the rest of their days, they would labor to do that for you, Lord. And my prayer this morning is that we can do what we can, each and every one of us, for your glory and for your honor. Bless us. Don't let the devil steal things from us, Lord. Help us to get all the blessings that you have for us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Amen.